prided herself on her unrivalled knowledge of the properties of Ramtop's herbage. No one knew better than she the many uses of earwort, maiden's wish, and love lies oozing. But there were times when she had to resort to her small stock of jealously traded and carefully hoarded medicines from Fawn Parts, which, as far as she was concerned, was anywhere further than a day's journey, to achieve the desired effect. She shredded some dry red leaves into a mug, topped it up with honey and hot water from the kettle, and pushed it into Esk's hands. Then she put a large round stone under the grate. Later on, wrapped in a scrap of blanket, it would make a bed warmer. And with a stern injunction to the girl not to stir from the chair, went out into the scullery. Esk drummed her heels on the chair legs and sipped the drink. It had a strange, peppery taste. She wondered what it was. She'd tasted Granny's brews before, of course, with a greater or lesser amount of honey in them, depending on whether she thought you were making too much of a fuss. And Esk knew that she was famous throughout the mountains for special potions, for illnesses that her mother, and some young women too, once in a while, just hinted at with raised eyebrows and lowered voices. When Granny came back, she was asleep. She didn't remember being put to bed, or Granny bolting the windows. Granny Weatherwax went back downstairs and pulled her rocking chair closer to the fire. There was something there, she told herself, lurking away in the child's mind. She didn't like to think about what it was, but she remembered what had happened to the wolves, and all that about lighting fires with magic. Wizards did that. It was one of the first things they learned. Granny sighed. There was only one way to be sure, and she was getting rather old for this sort of thing. She picked up the candle and went out through the scullery into the lean-to that housed her goats. They watched her without fear, each sitting in its pen like a furry blob, three mouths working rhythmically on the day's hay. The air smelled warm and slightly flatulent. Up in the rafters was a small owl, one of a number of creatures who found that living with Granny was worth the occasional inconvenience. It came to her hand at a word, and she stroked its bullet head thoughtfully as she looked for somewhere comfortable to lie. A pile of hay it would have to be. She blew out the candle and lay back, with the owl perched on her finger. The goats chewed, burped, and swallowed their way through their cosy night. It made the only sound in the building. Granny's body stilled. The owl felt her enter its mind and graciously made room. Granny knew she would regret this. Borrowing twice in one day would leave her good for nothing in the morning, and with a terrible desire to eat mice. Of course, when she was younger, she thought nothing of it, running with the stags, hunting with the foxes, learning the strange dark ways of the moles, hardly spending a night in her own body. But it was getting harder now, especially coming back. Maybe the time would come when she couldn't get back. Maybe the body back home would be so much dead flesh. And maybe that wouldn't be such a bad way of it, but that. This was the sort of things wizards could never know. If it occurred to them to enter a creature's mind, they'd do it like a thief, not out of wickedness, but because it simply wouldn't occur to them to do it any other way. Daft buggers. And what good would it do to take over an owl's body? You couldn't fly. You needed to spend a lifetime learning. But the gentle way was to ride in its mind, steering it as gently as a breeze stirs a leaf. The owl stirred, fluttered up onto the little windowsill, and glided silently into the night. The clouds had cleared, and the thin moon made the mountains gleam. Granny peered out through the owl eyes as she sped silently between the ranks of trees. This was the only way to travel, once a body had the way of it. She liked borrowing birds best of all, using them to explore the high hidden valleys where no one went, the secret lakes between black cliffs, the tiny walled fields on the scraps of flat ground, tucked on the sheer rock faces that were the property of hidden and secretive beings. Once she had ridden with the geese that passed over the mountains every spring and autumn, and she had got the shock of her life when she nearly went beyond range of returning. The owl broke out of the forest and skimmed across the rooftops of the village, alighting on a